All right, friends, how we doing? How we doing? We are back again. I have another treat. I have one of the tech members that has some cool stuff. His name is Brian, and he's from the
Central Jersey Paranormal Research Group.
Central Jersey Paranormal Research Group. All right, let me tell you about this. I just met Brian for the first time, and we'll get on the interview, but if any of you own an iPhone, he has one of the coolest toys I have ever seen for an iPhone. It is a FLIR. A FLIR camera on your iPhone, people. If you can see this, buy it. I don't even own an iPhone. I'm going to buy an iPhone just so I can get this, and my wife's going to kill me for spending the money on it. Oh, my God, this is awesome. All right, Brian, talk to me here. How did you get into the whole deal?
Well, I ended up getting interested in the paranormal when I had my first experience when I was 6 or 7. I actually grew up seeing a spirit in the house that I grew up in, and he used to always talk to me, and it just kind of came across as normal until I finally got older, and I realized he wasn't actually a family member. So who was I talking to?
Exactly.
So it left me with a lot of questions, started researching, started getting really into everything. So at that point, it delved into this massive passion. It's the biggest passion I got in life.
Very cool. Now, so what do you do for a real job?
Real job, I actually work for Lowe's right now. I'm a delivery load puller.
I like it. See, I like the background people have, and then they get into ghost hunting. It pulls people from all aspects of the world. I work on 1,000-foot container ships.
There you go. Something completely different.
There's people from everywhere. Vera sitting next to me is a lawyer. I mean, it pulls people from all professions, which I love. Now, all right, so I like how you got into it. Tell me about the tech stuff you have, or the tech work you do, because you seem to be the tech guy of your group.
I am the tech manager for the team, absolutely. I have so much different gear. I have things that encompass from audio recorders to the infrared cameras. I have REM pods. I have EMF pumps. And the most recent piece that I've gotten is that FLIR 1 that you were mentioning before.
Oh, Mufasa, I love that FLIR thing. That is so cool.
It is really cool. It is really worthwhile. I've been looking for a thermal imager for so long, but here's the problem. Everything we do is out of pocket.
Yes.
I don't know that many teams that can afford to do a $1,300 setup between a base model thermal imager for about $1,000 and a mini DV for about $300.
Yeah.
Price point wise, $300, the thing works. It works with your iPhone 5, your 5S, clips right on, photo, video. And with a couple of apps, you can actually generate out reports.
Oh, that's where the report aspect was great. It's small, it's compact, it's easy to use. It looks like fun. Again, this is the reason I'm going to tell my wife, okay, I'll get an iPhone now, just one of these things.
And, there you go.
And for like ghost radar and stuff like that, that's always kind of fun. Now, how did you learn the tech of this? Do you have a background in this growing up?
Well, I you could say I have a background in it. I'm a bit of a technician of all sorts.
There you go.
I'm into construction. I've been an electrician. I've done framing. If there's something that's mechanical, I've probably ripped it apart and rebuilt it.
That's cool. So do you find yourself making your own equipment too?
Actually, yes. We actually have... Not sure if we brought it with us or not, but there's actually a piece that we designed ourselves. The team leader, Michael, and myself kind of came up with the idea, hey, you know what? Let's make something that we can put in a room that'll 360 degrees cover it from motion and give us a visual indicator of where it came from. So we basically created this box. We call it Mopod.
Yeah.
And on the top and the left and right side are these motion sensors. And they'll pick up shadow movement. They'll pick up real-time movement. And you've got about a 25 foot in any given direction.
Oh,
so if you got,
very cool.
If you got a 40-foot room, it covers it. And it's got a light indicator on the sides. Each are independent. So say something happens in the upper right-hand corner, the top one and the right one are going to go off. And you know, boom, there it is.
Oh, man.
Drop a infrared camera in the room. Someone's always monitoring center command. Hey, this just went off. Get someone in there. You've now got a room covered. You don't need an actual person in.
Oh,
so it's another team member you don't have to feed, you don't have to deal with, and it doesn't talk back.
No whining. Oh, man, that's the best part about
Isn't it?
That is cool. Now, all right, what's one of your favorite hunts? What's one of your favorite pieces of evidence? Now, I saw the one, the shadow.
Oh, that one was pretty good. That is definitely up there. I don't think I'd say that that's my favorite.
Oh.
That one's up there from one of the most recent cases we did. But as far as my favorite place to go so far, everywhere I've been, it's honestly a really hard tie between Gettysburg and the Shanley Hotel in upstate New York.
Ooh.
Now, the Shanley Hotel is absolutely incredible. Yeah.
You said Shanley. Now, I didn't make it to the Shanley for our hunt, but these guys have it, and the stories give me goosebumps. So you saying this? Mufasa.
It is incredible. I mean, over 30 documented spirits, active from when you walk in to when you leave. But at the same time, nothing there is like really bad. You walk in, you feel welcome, like you've been there your whole life.
Yeah.
And everything there wants to interact with you. The team actually, before I had joined, about 4 or 5 years ago, got an audio piece of what we call the Mammy. She was like the housemaid.
Oh, cool.
And it was an audio recording of her saying, "Can y'all help me?" You know, real southern accent.
Yeah.
When we went last year, completely different place, I caught the same thing. In a different portion of the house, 4 years later, after they had.
Coming back for you.
Exactly.
That's cool.
That place is fantastic. If you can make a trip there, do it. Period. The end. It's fantastic.
All right. Do you ever get scared?
I'd be lying if I said no.
Nice.
Every paranormal investigator, whether they admit it or not, has been scared and will be scared again at some point in the future. You're never prepared for everything.
Well, that's that voice inside your head. I mean, that's you sensing the spirit, sensing the energy, saying, hey, someone's standing behind you. You look back, here we go.
And there's nothing there. Exactly. Or you're standing there and you're talking to the air, basically, hey, is somebody here? And next thing you know, you get your shoulder tapped and you're thinking your team member came up behind you. You turn around, no one's there. A little disconcerting. You're like, all right, so cool. That happened. You know, there's that.
All right, what about an out-of-the-box hunt? Have you guys hit a place that you wouldn't normally think would be set up for a haunt?
Some of the particular residents that we've done, like as far as the just the location of where they were, the neighborhood, the general atmosphere and vibe of everything, very cheerful, you know, like you'd see in the old school TV, everybody's, hey, Bill, how you doing today?
Yep.
It's so friendly. But then you get into the place and you're like, what is going on in here? Yeah, it's like, you know, the nice quiet house on Elm Street, and then all of a sudden, it gets real.
Yes.
So there have definitely been some cases where we did not expect things to go in particular the way they did. Some have gone much better than we thought. Some have gone much worse than we thought. But it's hit or miss. It is what the field is. You have to always be able to evolve and expect the unexpected as best as you can.
Nice. Okay, training. What kind of training do you guys do? Now, I know every group's got their set things. So for you guys, what kind of training do you...
As far as like bringing a new member in?
Bring a new member in, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, the first thing we always love to see just, you know, what they already have as a base knowledge or information or anything like that. But we started off simple. The most important thing is we start with gear.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what experiences we have, if we can't back it up, if we can't show to the world, hey, look at this awesome thing we got.
Exactly.
It means squat. It's not evidence.
Yeah.
If we have something tangible, then it is. First thing I always start with is audio recorders.
Yeah.
Hands down, period, the end. 95%.
Oh, that was mine.
Exactly. 95% of what you're going to get evidence-based is going to be audio.
Oh, I love it.
For whatever reason, it seems to be the easiest way for them to come across. You don't have to hear them. They can do their own thing.
Yep.
You know, video and photo is just few and far between. Those are like the holy grail moments.
Do you remember your first EVP?
Yes, actually, I do. I was much younger, long before I joined this team. I'll say I was in my stupid teenage years.
Oh, I love those years.
Where I wasn't necessarily doing things quite by the up-and-up legal standpoint. So I had decided to venture into said undisclosed location. And I had been checking it out because I'd heard some really interesting reports in history. Was running a really base Sony audio recorder. Couldn't even upload it to the computer. Just kind of listen to it later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, way back in the day. I think it was 19. So we're talking like 8, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So I ended up listening back to it, and I'd been asking some questions. You know, I had this really odd vibe, and I'm like, you know, is there anybody here that wants to speak with me? About 6 seconds goes by, and then you just hear, go away. And it was not happy. It was not happy at all. I listened to that, and I was like, mm-mm, I don't like that one, but I'm going to go back.
Yeah.
And I went back the next day with another friend and actually got it again.
That's good. Now, even at the young age, there you are saying, all right, I have this, and I need to validate this evidence. Let me get a second shot.
Exactly.
I love it. I remember my first EVP I ever got, I was with Ecrypt. We're doing, where was that? It was an old abandoned insane asylum up in upstate New York.
Okay.
Leckworth Penitentiary, I think it was.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So I'm in there, and, you know, with EVPs, you don't know what's going on until you're home.
Exactly.
So I get home, it's like 2 in the morning. There I am, sitting there. Got my little headphones on and listen to it. I'm like, oh, go back again. I hear, hey, Mark. Now, when it's your first EVP and you hear something calling your name.
Yes, yeah.
So this is what we talk about, bringing it back to getting scared. I took the headphones off, unplugged everything, ran upstairs, jumped right into the bed. My wife is like sitting there and I'm shaking. She goes, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I heard something. She goes, what? She goes, it called my name. She goes, okay. I'm like, you don't think that's freaky? And even to this day now, I mean, you'll hear stuff, but when you hear something that catches you the right way and the goosebumps start,
yeah,
it's right up there, baby.
Sometimes it can be the exact same words you've heard 1,000 times before,
yes,
but it's the connotation and the tone behind it.
Yes.
And sometimes the emotion that's conveyed is just powerful.
Yes.
It is just intense, and you're like, ooh, that's different.
Nice. Have you ever had an EVP that you've heard afterwards and you wish you would have heard it at that point because you might have changed what you were just doing?
Absolutely. I've had EVPs where, you know, most of the time when you're doing a session, unless you have the recorders where you can do live listening,
yeah,
which now I have a few of those,
mm-hmm,
but unless you're doing that, you're asking questions of the air and you're not hearing anything back.
Yeah.
So the really rough part of doing that is you could be asking a question or a couple of questions that kind of tie together and get answers for those, but you're not realizing, so now you go to a different direction.
Yeah.
Now that spirit's like, well, you lost me. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So you listen back later, you know, can you tell me your name? Martha. Okay. You know, I still didn't hear that. Can you tell me how old you are? 37. Okay. Did you grow up here? Yes. And then you start going off to something else, and it's like, well, you're not asking about me anymore, so I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I've had moments like that, not to that extent, but where you're getting a couple answers for a couple questions in a row, and it's like, damn it. Why did I not hear this at the time?
Now, do you guys, when you're doing your EVP sessions, do you back it up with a second piece of equipment?
Usually we run audio equipment around where all our cameras are.
Okay.
And those are all the hotspots where we're going to be running as well.
Right.
So we have audio recorders that are running for the entire duration of the case. And we also have audio recorders that we go handheld with for EVP. So there's normally at least 2 different points of validation.
Nice. So as being the tech guy, to get that all synced up is nuts.
It can be a little daunting. It's one of those things that, you know, I definitely need my help, you know, and sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I do. But I've usually got the master plan in my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm involved from the get-go. I wear many hats. I do the phone consultation. I do the initial start doing some of the research along with one of our other members.
Yeah.
I'm there for the initial consultation, the sit-down consultation with the team leader, out there for the investigation. So at this point, I've already seen the house twice.
Yeah.
So now I know where everything's going. Yeah. So it's like, okay, you take that, go there, go there, go there, go there. So you start up all the cameras. You have to start recording them. You have to notate when they started.
Yes.
Then you have to go into the rooms with the audio recorders. You got to stand in front of the camera, turn on the audio recorder so you then can see with the camera timestamp when you turned it on.
Yep.
You're still notating. Okay. Here's the time, this is the recorder, here's where it is, here's the case number, so on and so forth. This way, when you listen back to it later, okay, I know this recorder was in the upstairs back left bedroom, I started at 11:15, and there you go.
So, for all you aspiring ghost hunters listening at home, you just heard what happens. It's a lot more than walking in, saying, I got something, and running out and getting a TV show. There is a lot of work involved.
And not only is there a lot of work, if you want to get serious in there, you're talking a lot of money.
Yes. Kiss the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, and wife goodbye.
Yep, they're not going to stick around for it unless they're real diehard. They're still get out of here, or
that's
they'll just
it.
Bail. And you're going to find yourself, if you get into it and you turn into a techie like me, you're going to buy a lot of gear. So far, myself alone, I have $4,500 worth of equipment. And that's not including the rest of the equipment that my team leader has.
My wife would kill me. All right, I got one last question for you. Did you ever use anybody as bait?
Once. We will not be doing that ever again.
Really?
Yeah.
I volunteer every single time.
It's risky. It can be risky. And it's one of those things that the instance that happened as bait, I ended up actually being the bait.
Okay.
There used to be this running joke with some of the members that if we were out of place and nothing was really going on, they'd be like, oh, go ahead, slap Brian, pinch Brian, poke Brian. I'm not even in the room. I have no idea what's happening. Nothing ever happened from it before, so I'm like, haha, very funny, you know, whatever. Till one of the cases that I was actually outside of the house in the backyard doing an EVP session, and one of the team members had vocalized that inside. 3 seconds later, something grabbed me.
Oh,
because I hadn't been the one vocalizing it, I wasn't really mentally prepared for that sort of instance. So it got me more than it normally would have. It's unsettling when you say, hey, can you touch me? And it happens.
Yeah.
But it's more unsettling when you're not ready for it and all of a sudden something grabs your arm.
Yeah.
So from that point forward, we're like, no, you do not volunteer anybody else because it's not a good look. You don't know what you're volunteering them for, and you're making an open invitation for anything to go after that person.
Yeah.
you could literally be putting their well-being in jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's not a good practice. Don't do it.
Some can attach to them and go back home.
Exactly. You have no idea what you could be dealing with. Even several cases in, investigations in, you still don't actively know what you're dealing with.
Yeah. True. Then again, I always volunteer. Yeah, I'll go climb in that little hole. A little crawl space.
Well,
yeah, I'll go in there.
That's a bit different. I'm that
sitting
guy.
Sitting on a haunted chair? Yeah, I'll go sit in it.
I'm that guy, too. You know, oh, the basement's really creepy. Don't go down there. Be like, where's the door?
Yeah.
That's me. But actively volunteering somebody else for a situation that you're not putting yourself in is not okay.
You made the good point about if you are volunteering yourself, being mentally prepared. And,
right.
And that's the whole thing. That's one of the things we always try to do at Decrypt. You know, we bubble up, you know, protect ourselves with the white light, you know, make sure you say, nothing's getting to me. If
exactly.
you don't have that mental preparation, that's it. Something's going to latch on.
And at that point, you're in a whole world of hurt.
Yeah.
And it's it can turn bad real quick.
Very bad. Very bad. All righty. I'm going to conclude it here. I'm going to keep the time going. I want to thank you very much. A little handshake across the table.
Hey, thank you.
Brian, also, I just want to say you guys have the best shirts ever.
Oh, thank you, man.
I love it. All right. I'm going to turn the microphone around so everyone can listen to it. There you go. All right. So now you all heard. Listen to the shirt. This shirt is outstanding. Even got the names on them. I want one. All right, guys. So from the Para-Unity, because I kept calling it Para-Nudity. Yes.
You know, that would take this expo and bring it to a whole different level I don't think people would expect.
Well, I said I wore my special Ecrypt thong just for the Para-Nudity Expo. But from the Para-Unity Expo, from Ecrypt, from Among the Realms, from Trinity Metaphysical, I want to say thank you very much. Good luck tonight. Good hunting out there.
Thank you.
I hope to see you guys soon.
Oh, yeah. You'll be seeing more of us.
Nice. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Not a problem. Have a good one.
You too. All right, friends, now I got a treat for you. We're going to play a little game called Goosebumps. So in front of me, I have three potential Goosebumpies. I have Brooke, Isabella, and Cammie. Say hi.
Hola.
All right, good enough. All right, so the first thing to do, I'm going to play you some EVPs. Now, some of you guys already heard them, but Isabella has not. So after each one, we're going to have her put her arm out and see if we got goosebumps, right? Yeah, all right, cool. So the first one is we ask about a witch. You're not afraid of witches, right?
No.
No? Come a little closer to the microphone. A little bit closer and tell me if you're afraid of witches.
No.
No? All right, cool. So you're going to hear somebody ask, are you a witch?
Are you a real witch? Or just someone they accused of being a witch? A real one.
What did you hear?
Are you a witch?
Okay. And did you hear the answer?
Yes.
That was nobody in the store. That was something completely out of the blue that got picked up on the EVPs. Not scared?
Nope.
Not at all? Oh, man. Okay, let's give her the other
Take
one.
Take it like a man.
Yeah, all right. All right, so we're going to give you the other one now. This one is a very quick one, and you're going to hear a very quick chopped voice, but let's see if you can see what it says. Did you hear something on that?
I did, but I'm not 100% sure what it said.
It says, come see I show you, but it's really quick and chopped. Again, that was nobody in living that actually said that. Now, how do you feel about kids? Kids are fun, right?
Yeah.
No?
Aw, I got four of them at home. They're great.
They're okay.
I know. Wait till you get them. We got to put them through college. All right, so this one is going to be a child's voice. It's more of a kid teasing us. Jackie, who is right there, says, hey, we found you. And you hear the spirit actually teasing her. You're at the very little doo-doo-doo, little teasing. That's actually, you're not scared at all.
No.
Not a single, oh my God, we could have like stopped cars on our arms with the goosebumps we had just before. And you are not scared at all.
Nope.
Really?
I didn't get
it. Okay, hold on. All right, let's get to some scary stuff. One of the questions we ask when we ghost hunt is simple questions like, you know, how old are you? Do you have a favorite color? When did you die? And what is your name?
There's a male here. Can you tell us your name? You all grew and stand in this corner?
You hear that, right? I saw the look. I saw that look. That got you, right?
Yeah.
Let's see the arm. Goosebumps? None? Oh, no. You're killing me. All right. Listen for the question, did you upset the table? And shortly after that, if this doesn't get you.
Nothing will.
Did you upset the table?
Yes.
It gets her all the time. You heard that, right? What did it say?
I heard it say something, but I'm not sure what it said.
All right, we'll try it again.
Did you upset the table?
Yes.
So what you got is it saying, help me. It sounds like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings, right? That didn't do it.
Nope.
You are a rock, girl.
Have you even seen Lord of the Rings, Isabella?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't.
You've never seen the Lord of the Rings?
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, my God. All right, another one we're playing. This is kind of quiet. It's slowed down, but in the background of the speaking, you're going to hear something long and drawn out. This is the freaky one.
Can you stop that from lighting up, please?
Did you hear it? That sounds like a heavy exhale. When you listen to it closely, it's going to say, in darkness. Ooh, I'll try it again.
Can you stop that from lighting up, please?
That time I heard it.
All right, let's see the alarm.
All Isabella, right. What is wrong with you?
I just want to say Isabella either is a ghost herself and is not afraid of anything, or this chick is a rock and she should like join every single Ghost Hunter group here.
Yeah.
You guys are great because you guys are like freaking out. I
She'd
love that.
She'd be scared of it if she actually encountered it.
No,
yes.
I have.
Right
when?
At
my dad's house.
Yeah.
Oh, do tell. Let's hear your story.
Okay, so a couple years ago, my cousin Celeste saw a ghost named Tess in her room. It's a little boy. She said that it doesn't have any eyes, but he sits in her window. So then she ended up moving out of that bedroom. But it's still in there because my grandmother had the house checked out, and they said that there was a little boy named Test, which is the one that my cousin saw. And then there's a lady named Margaret or something like that, I think.
I'm getting chills.
Now he's checking.
I'm getting the chills. See, I got the goosebumps going. Very cool. Now, have you had any interaction with this, sir?
Yeah, they've not. The little, or one of them, has knocked off stuff off of my wall in there.
Cool.
And it doesn't freak me out.
Really? No wonder. Now, are you local from the area?
No.
No, where are you from?
New Jersey. Well, Vineland, New Jersey.
For real?
We're all from New Jersey. No, we're from up north, but man, you tell your story to one of these groups, man. They'll be pounding at the doors to go check it out. We love this kind of stuff. All right, well, let me see. Let me try one more from you. And let's see what I got here. Let's see what I got here. Here's a question. A loud female voice. That definitely was left. All right, it actually sounds like a meowing or a screaming in the background. That's the one in the very end. Let me start again a little bit. I'll turn down the volume a little bit so I'm not blowing out eardrums over here. All right, let's try this again. We'll try it halfway through into it. That's actually like screaming in the background. And again, nobody has said anything. That was all caught with one of these. Freaky, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can do this at home. I wouldn't suggest it because sometimes you can open up stuff, but if you ever want to try, look up the sites. There are classes on doing this. This is a real fun thing. All right. I want to say thank you to the girls. I want to say thank you to Brooke, the Rock Isabella, and I don't want to say it wrong, so I'll let you say it.
Camry.
That's awesome. I love that name.
Like the car.
Like the car. All right. Thank you, girls. I'll turn you back to Mom wherever she went. I think she's on the phone over there. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, friends, how you doing? How you doing? We are back at the Para-Unity Expo. It is a killer of a day. I tell you, my voice is barely hanging in there, but a couple Mountain Dews, man, and I'm ready to go. In front of me, I have two young men, Braden and Tyler. They are part of the...
Teen Paranormal Club.
Teen Paranormal Club. Where is that from?
from Northumberland, Pennsylvania.
Northumberland, that's a little distance to come here, right?
Yeah, that's 4 hours.
That's pretty cool, though. You know what? It's great to see people of your age interested in this. And now, what do you guys focus on in the Team Paranormal Club? You have a special job?
Yeah, we do more community. We give back a lot to different charities.
Nice, nice. Now, what about ghost hunting?
We do some ghost hunting, but we've been training a lot with other clubs and groups, so we're actually going to start getting into more investigating.
Cool, cool. They have you doing a lot of the research now, a lot of legwork and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, the interns. Love it. Will they ever send you in as ghost bait?
No.
Not yet? Oh, man, I wish I had some interns. I'd do that in a heartbeat. No, we can't really do that. Never send somebody in, but always volunteer yourself. That's the whole kind of thing. So how are you guys with EVPs? You ever get any good EVPs? You hear any good EVPs from your group?
Yeah.
Nice. Ever give you the willies, like, ooh, with goosebumps?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. You want to hear some?
Sure.
All right, this is the game we're going to play. I'm going to play you the EVP. Let me know what you think, but if you get goosebumps, I want to see the arms. I had a couple people in here before, like, woo, they were jumping up. It was great, man. So the first one is called A Real Witch. Now, in this one, one of our members is asking, you know, are you a good witch? Are you a bad? What kind of witch are you, pretty much? And you hear in a clear voice this.
Are you a real witch? Or just someone they accused of being a witch? Is it a real one?
Did you hear that? The answer was the real one. At that point, there is nobody saying that in our store. That is pure, clear EVP. Let me try it again, see if you got it.
Are you a real witch? Or just someone they accused of being a witch? Is it a real one?
That was the... Oh, I wish this was television. I could see your face. Now, the person in the tape is Vera right here. Ah! Look what she did. She got my finger off. Sitting right next to me. That was her asking the question. The next one I have for you is a cool one. It's a really quick one, and it's very very quick and sharp. And let's see the looks of the faces when you hear this. Did you catch that? It almost sounds like someone's speaking with a Chinese accent. They're saying, "Come see I show you." Let me try this again for you. That's your face again. I love it. Oh God, I wish I had a camera for this.
I heard it that time.
That's a sweet one. All right, let's get you another one. Oh, here we go. This will freak you out. This one was Jackie. She is somewhere over there, alone in the store. She's our medium. When we do ghost hunting with the medium. She kind of felt something, so she turned the recorder on and asked a question.
Are you here with me?
It's almost like a squealing in the background. It's kind of freaky. You look at your face, it's classic, man. You're like, oh, wait. All right. Let me do two more, and then I want to hear more about you guys, your group, and how you're learning. So when they do EVPs, have you ever done any yet?
Yes.
Okay. So what are the questions that you ask?
Pretty basic questions, like...
How long have you been here?
Yeah, are you male or female?
Exactly, the easy stuff. Well, what about, you ask the guy's name, right?
Yeah.
There's a male here. Can you tell us your name? You all grew and stand in this corner?
Did you catch that? At the very end here, I'll play it halfway through, so listen. Oh, gotta hit the play button.
Do all crew and stand in this corner?
James. That's a cool one. Pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
All right, last one I'm going to play for you guys. This is a little freaky. All right, I want you to listen in to what you hear. Do you upset the table? And tell me what you guys hear.
Did you upset the table?
Yes.
Catch that. It's a really quick one. It almost sounds like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. But you're going to hear a raspy voice again.
Did you just hit the table?
Yes.
Did you catch that? This is part of the Ghost Hunter training now. Let's hear for the good stuff. What did it say?
I couldn't make it out, but I could hear it. There's no way it was somebody's voice that was actually in that room.
Nice.
As a human.
Nice. All right. Now I want to hear about you guys now. Tell me about how you got into this.
Well, my first paranormal experience, I was, I'm going to say, 3 at the time. And ever since that, then I started seeing different things that's not there, and I hear things that other people don't hear. And then a few years ago, my nan had passed away, and ever since she passed is really what got me into the whole paranormal field.
Very cool. All right, little man, how did you get sucked into it?
My mom was telling me about stuff that goes on that she could see and hear and feel, and I was like, well, that seems cool, so I guess I might want to try it. And I tried it, and I just got pulled in.
Nice. So what's your favorite aspect of it? Do you like the research part? Do you like the ghost hunting? Do you like the technical aspect of, you know, just doing a lot of the AV work at the end? Do you like the point where, you know, you're done ghost hunting, you're actually sitting there and you're gathering the evidence? I mean, you're reviewing it. What's your favorite aspect of it?
Mine's everything, really.
Are you causing trouble?
What about you?
I really like going over the evidence to see what we found, and
yep,
that shows that, hey, we did our job. We found something, yep, and we can identify what it is.
Nice. Now, when you find something, what's the first question you ask yourself?
Was it somebody in the background?
Yes.
Or was it real?
Oh, high five. There we go. High five. Got it. You got it. That's the best thing to do is if you're telling yourself, oh, I'm it's a ghost, I know it is, then your mind's already made up.
So, like, when we do EVP work, if somebody moves, we say, somebody moved.
Yes.
Or if a car goes by, we say, car goes by. So when another noise is made, we document it. And then in the beginning, we go through and introduce ourselves so they know our voice and who's asking the questions and
yep,
who gets the answer.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Now, what's your favorite piece of equipment?
My ability, really.
Good answer. Oh, another high five for this one. All right, tell me about the ability.
I can see and communicate with the spirits.
Nice. Nice. That is one thing that's starting to come around, is actually having, like, mediums on the group. With our group, the E Group, we have an actual medium that goes with us, and it's a core member of the group. It's Jackie, it's our fearless leader. And with you having that ability, that is just a great thing, because now you have the equipment to back up or to validate what you get. And that's all part of it, is that validation. All right, what about you, little guy? What's your favorite piece of equipment?
My favorite piece of equipment would have to be the recorder.
Yes.
Because you can ask the questions and then go back and play it back and hear everything that you couldn't hear without the recorder.
Yes. Now, this is a couple questions I've asked every ghost hunter at this table. First, what do you remember your first EVP?
Yes.
What was it?
We were in the Huffman Mansion down in Gettysburg, and we asked how many children live here, and we heard 4,
nice,
clear as day.
Nice.
So that was my first EVP.
What about you?
That's a tough one. But I'd have to say I was in a cemetery, and I was asking a question. I asked, what is your name? And you can hear, we played the recording back, and you can hear as clear as day the name of the spirit.
Very cool. Very cool. My first EVP, something actually called my name out on the tape. Yes,
wow.
That's the same thing. Man, I've said, like, almost every interview, I'm down in the basement, I'm listening to it, and I hear, hey, Mark. And boom, put the headphones down and ran right up under the covers, dove. Which leads to my next question. Now, do you guys get scared?
No, I...
Oh.
I'm not really. I'm one that it's hard to scare, so...
Okay.
Not really anymore, but, like, when I was younger and, like, I could see stuff...
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of closed off to it.
Oh.
Yeah, but... When I was younger, I used to be able to see things, and, like, I was sitting on my bed the one night, and then I seen something with red eyes look around my door.
Yeah.
And then that was it for me. I just took off out of my room, down the stairs, and that was about it.
Now here's a question for you. I don't want any names or anything like that past the first name, so we won't get, like, who you are, but... Now, your parents, did you tell them about these feelings that you had, or did you tell them that, hey, I was sensing this?
Yeah.
How did they take it?
My mom is, she's clairvoyant.
Yes.
So she can see, feel, and everything else. So she was like, well, yeah. And she told me that I was like a shield and they were drawn to me.
Okay.
So I was like, wow, my parents are kind of cool that I...
Yeah. Once again, all my listeners, I want you to take this to heart. If you have children at home and you think they are sensitive, you think they have a gift, nurture that gift. Do not try to extinguish that light. If they say they have an imaginary friend or see something, ask them about it. Don't tell them it's all their mind. They have a gift, and if you let that gift grow, they're going to turn into very exceptional people. Please do not snuff it out. Your parents did an amazing thing. Well, your mother also being clairvoyant, she knew.
Yeah.
You know, so she was already there, but the fact that they did not snuff it out, like, your parents, is it the same kind of deal? You know, did you tell them you see things, you hear things?
Yeah, I tell them that I see things and hear things, and they're okay with it.
Cool. My oldest son, he'll talk about the ghost lady that used to come into his room. Well, the ghost lady was my mother who passed when I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
And never once did my wife and I ever say, oh, it's all in your head. We always said, cool, tell me more. I want to know more about it. Never try to push that out. Well, I tell you what, you guys are awesome sauce. It was great talking to you. I'm sorry my EVPs didn't give you any kind of goosebumps at all, man. You got that stone look on your face. You guys are going to have some good times. You know what? You both are very great young men. I would love to see you here in the future. I'd love to see you with your own TV show, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. Thank you very much. Handshakes across the table.
Can I say one thing?
You can say two things.
We actually are in the process of getting a book made. So, yeah.
Give it a plug.
There's a lady that lives down where we live who...
She's a local author in Sunbury. Her name's Catherine Kay, and she's helping us write a book.
Very nice. Now, is there a link or a website for any of this information we can check out, or we just have to wait for it to come out on Amazon?
Probably we'll have to wait for it to come out on Amazon.
All right. Yeah. Cool. That is awesome. I tell you what, I love these expos. You learn something new every day. Here I have two great young men that are getting a book done about them and their group. Now, before we leave, tell me a little bit more about your group now.
We focus a lot on community service and giving back to our community. Because the way we see it is if we give back to the community can give back to us.
Ooh, yes.
So we just do a lot of community service and fundraisers, and we pay for all of our trips and stuff. And
that's great. That is great.
It feels good giving back to the community and not just, like, waiting for everything to be handed to us.
Yes. Oh, my God. You guys are awesome.
And... We start taking people from 12 to 17.
Really?
And our school grades plays a big part in our club.
Yes, our leader is very active with our grades and
that
parents.
That is very good. It's just like growing up and playing for the team, too. You know, if you don't make the grade, you don't start.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice. Very nice. Oh, that is great. It's refreshing to see you guys starting out at a young age, and you guys have a healthy attitude about it, and people that are gifted, and letting a place for gifted kids to let this grow. Again, thank you very much for coming around.
Thank you.
Any plugs you want to give for your group? Is there a website, a Facebook page, a Twitter page?
Yeah, if you get on Spirit Reachers, we have a page called Spirit Reachers. And you can get on Facebook and do and Facebook us. We have our own Facebook page and everything.
Nice. All right, listeners, so what I want you to do is I want you to blow up the internet and check out...
SpiritReachers.com.
There we go. I got to get that .com, baby. Check out SpiritReachers.com. Great talking to you guys. Have a great time at the expo. All right, say bye.
See ya.
See ya. See ya, guys.
England and Ireland, and from there we ended up mingling in with the druidic bloodlines and everything, and then my father met my mother, and who is descended from various chiefs and shamans, the basis of all these different accumulations of different forms of energy work and belief systems. We have a natural capability of accessing higher levels of energy than the average individual.
Yeah.
Everyone is capable of accessing these energies, but most people have to actually work toward it a lot more to try and unlock these things. With me, I'm fortunately and unfortunately, I mean, it's not fun when you're about 7 years old and you're like, hey, what's that ugly thing that no one else can see walking in front of me? Or, hey, why is it that whenever I get angry, everyone around me is getting a severe migraine?
Yeah.
So actually learning how to control everything is a very, very big aspect to it, and it is quite unpleasant growing up with it. But once you actually understand and come to terms with what is going on, you see what is around you, and you gain some guidance, if you will, then you are able to sit down and figure things out at a more advanced perspective. With me, I have been basically, since I was about 15 years old, learning and researching the various forms of energy work and philosophies and religions and from all over the world, from Qigong and Reiki to Kabbalistic magic and Asgardian Midgard magic. Then you also have the other aspects of my bloodlines with the Native Americans, which is the totemic shaman magic, which is very... generally with that, it's either you are chosen or you are born into it.
Okay.
As an individual, I like to consider myself as a wizard or an arcanist because I do not specialize in one form of energy work. But the other aspect is whenever people think of wizards, they think, oh, they're able to just go and sling fireballs around. You know, magic missile, death, sleep.
This isn't World of Warcraft we're talking about.
Exactly. It's the big thing is it's an understanding not just of what you can see, the reality that is before you, but also the reality that is around us beneath the rocks, beneath the sand, behind the curtain, under the surface of the water, understanding nature itself to the very core, the building blocks of reality and existence, because it's not just a basis of willing something, but it is an understanding of a basis of science. There are heavy amounts of mathematics that are involved. You see a lot of the ceremonial magics and everything. They have all kinds of really, really nice geometric shapes.
It's geometry,
everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that is actually based on the mathematics of various equations that actually have a full out effect on the reality behind us, in front of us, around us. You look at anything at its absolute basic building block, it is a geometric shape. Even Plato himself believed that the world itself was built up of millions and millions upon billions of triangles fit together snugly.
Yep.
And by doing so, it gave everything a plane. With understanding energy and nature and everything is based on layers. The layers being planes. Dimensions being directions. Ways of thought, waves, frequencies, ohms, amps. Same thing as what you work with whenever you're dealing with radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
The basis of psychic energy is your brain is a transceiver and a receiver.
Yeah.
You're able to project and receive. Well, if you understand how to properly utilize those energy waves, then you're able to... you're able to actually push any energy around and manipulate energy, because everything is based on energy and matter. But even whenever you go even further down to the basis of atoms, atoms, they have found, are not even the building blocks. There are even smaller particles that make up atoms. Yeah. I mean, the Higgs boson, the tachyon, you know, all these different things. And we're seeing even deeper and deeper and deeper, not only into our own existence, but also into reality itself.
Yeah.
If you were to turn around, if you were to take a time machine, go back with a cell phone, 500, 600 years, even 150 years, you sit there and you show someone this, and it's like, look, it lights up. Look, it does little things. They're going to be sitting there like, what are you doing with this magic box?
Yeah. Oh, witch, burn them. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, hey, let's have a barbecue. What's on? What's for dinner? Wiccan.
I love it.
So, I mean, even with our technology, it can be considered as a form of magic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all how energy is manipulated and utilized.
Yes.
Electricity, radiation, even emotion, which itself gives off a basis of energy.
Yes.
You know, if you walk up to someone and you shake their hand, you're, oh, okay, he looks nice, he looks cool, you shake his hand, and the first thing you think about is clocking him in the face.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the energies that you're getting off of that individual are saying, stay away from that individual.
Exactly. One of the things you talked about, and it always touches home when someone, anytime someone mentions a childhood, one of the things we talked about on the show were indigo children. Now, growing up, with what you have, with the abilities that you've had. Now, it seems that your parents were not a hindrance at all.
Nope.
No. That's one of the things we try to talk about with parenting on this. Now, growing up and having a positive input from parents, how is that?
To be honest, that's one of the best things that an individual can have, because it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's, you know, within the metaphysical or supernatural, or even just, you know, generalized basis of who the individual is.
Yes.
Positive reinforcement is an amazing thing. It really helps to develop the child into a person, who they are and who they want to be,
yeah.
Not just what they think everyone wants them to
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
By sitting there and supporting an individual because they believe in something allows them to see everything in a brighter light.
Yes. Yes. That's something we always try to talk about in the show. I always try to tell people, like, I have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them definitely have some sort of a gift. My one son will talk of a woman
mm-hmm.
that comes in, plays with him. The woman he's identified in the picture as my mother, who passed when I was 12. I mean, like, I have a police lineup. And now, when he says, oh, the ghost lady comes in, never once do I say, oh, no, you're crazy. Or even when he first started, say, no, that you're just making it up. Always tell me about it. Tell me about it. Never, ever have I ever tried to extinguish that light of a gift. Because one of the things I believe is everyone is born with a gift. Now, whether it's a very powerful gift, or if you just have the inklings of it, you're still born with it. And if you extinguish that light at a young age, it closes their mind to so many things. To the point, I mean, it even closes their mind to the idea of friendship. The idea of everyone being together is a hard thought. I mean, simple, basic things like that. And that's what I like to hear when people, when they do have this gift. And I love to hear when they tell me their parents were nurturing. Their parents, they never pushed anything, but they let them grow. And they never snuffed anything out. That makes me smile, and that's what I love, and that's why what makes me so proud about parenting skills now, and I love it. I'm almost choked up now because I love it. Now, I want to hear about your booth here at the Para Unity Expo, not the Para Nudity, but the Para Unity.
Yes. Well, personally, I do not have my own booth.
Oh,
I am vending okay. with a group that I've been vending with for quite some time.
Okay.
They sell occult goods mm-hmm. And occult paraphernalia, as well as, you know, sundry, you know, nifty little items like, you know, T-shirts and all that.
There you go.
And bumper stickers. But they are called Strange Omens. They have been supporting me with my work and over the years. They're amazing individuals, and every time that they come out, I sit down, I vend my wares alongside them. I help individuals who come to the booth with mm-hmm. whenever they need explanations on various things, whether it be different types of smudge sticks. What do these herbs help
yes.
with? Or what I had these issues. What might help me with that? Different stones that you know and their various properties.
Yeah.
Or even just hey. Can I tell you about something that's going on in my life? I'm confused.
Yeah.
Even with that, I mean, I've had so many people of different walks just come up to me and just say and just start pouring their life out to me. They've never seen me before. They yeah. are in a completely different area of the Northeast, and it's like, and I look at them, I'm like, do you normally do this to people? And they're like, no, I've never done this before in my life. And I'm like, all right, continue.
Keep
you
going.
Know. So I mean, it's it. Even though I'm not here by myself, I am here definitely to at any of these events, whether it's the pagan pride days in South Jersey, Philadelphia, New York City, Central Jersey, wherever,
yeah.
Or even at like the goth industrial clubs that I will go and vend at just because, hey, man, why not?
Yeah.
And I'll have so many people come up. They'll look at my things. They'll look at, you know, they'll look at me. They'll half the time run away.
never.
Yeah. But the individuals that come up and just sit down and they see that there's something that they need to say to me.
Yeah.
You know, because everything happens for a reason.
Yes. Yes.
Everything happens
oh,
for
I am
a
such
reason.
A believer of that.
It doesn't matter how much you don't understand what is going on. You could be walking along the side of the road. You see that penny. You go down. You pick up that penny. You don't know until, if ever, that one little penny kept you from getting hit by a car 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. Every little thing happens for a reason.
Yes.
Even if it's something that you have to make happen.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like that. That's going to be a good show topic. All right. Well, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you very much. Zachary, I have a feeling you will be getting a call from Among the Realms as a guest.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know, I've enjoyed talking to you. I'm sure our listeners, when I get feedback, are going to like to hear some more from you. I got your card right here. What we'll do is there are some things on here that we definitely do cover. And I will be giving you a call.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Zachary. A little handshake across Excellent. The table there. All right, so guys, you've heard Zachary. Amazing person. Very interesting. And this is great. Just someone, just a quick conversation, and you feel very comfortable with the person. You know there's going to be some joy in the radio, and this is it. Just a smile and a handshake. I love it. All right, guys. So from Trinity Metaphysical, from Ecrypt Ghost Hunters, and from Among the Realms Radio, I'd like to say thank you very much. Thank you, Zachary.
Welcome.